March 4, 2020, it's a lot from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
For Pedro Show. Happy Wednesday.
Yeah.
2 weeks from tomorrow, I start a tour, so I'm getting some radio shows in here. Brother Matt, last minute, unavailable, that he wishes, sends everybody his best. We'll see him next week. I'm not man alone, though. Here my pad. I have a connect to Berlin, and I'm talking to Dean Roberts via Skype. Fucking bored, Dean.
Hello, hi.
How you doing?
Good.
How's your weather?
Oh, it's a bit cold and a bit grey, but it's not too bad.
We're in the low 70s here. Well, you know, we had a real bad February. No rain. A couple of days here in SoCal. I think the city, San Francisco, they got nothing. They're 400 miles north. But, yeah, so maybe another drought. Look, we start off the show with Venus, John Coltrane. Something from your new record, Untrained Spirit, Dean Roberts. Dean, what's your earliest musical recollection?
Earliest musical recollection? Ooh. Kinks.
Kinks?
Yeah.
Okay, so how old are you?
Maybe about 5 years old or something.
And where's this at?
In this island off New Zealand, where my parents, my mother was a huge fan of the Kinks, and she used to play the Kinks records. And yeah, my dad was into Zeppelin, and see, my parents are quite young, so they're only a little more than 20 years older than me now, so they were listening to a lot of this kind of stuff, The Cure and early, like late 70s, early 80s, new wave stuff. But for me, like my biggest musical memory as a child would definitely be the Kinks.
What's the name of this island?
It's called Kawau.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've only been to, what's the big one with Auckland?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Auckland. Been there for
yeah,
the
you
times.
Played, I remember, you played.
Yeah, big day off.
Big day out. With and you
one
played
time
bass.
With Porno for Pyros, one time with Jay Maskus.
Fall. Yeah, and one time with the Stooges.
Once with the Stooges.
Mm.
So, I don't think the one with Jay Maskus was Big Day Off. I think that was another.
Yeah, I think that was just a club show, right?
Yeah, and, but
yeah,
it was my second time there. It was very exciting. And I dug it a lot. The first time I was there was with Porno for Pyros, which was pretty amazing. I remember Jesus Lizard. And I got to play with David Yao last summer. With the
yes, I
two
saw
Flipper
you play
guys.
With David.
Yeah.
With remember, the Flipper band. That
remember
was
the
amazing.
Gig in Berlin, Be New?
Yeah.
And we had a big chow the night before that.
Yeah.
Larry and stuff. Larry's coming to town today. We're going to record this weekend here at Peter at Casa Hanzo. So,
oh, wow.
Your parents were listeners. Did that even, were they musicians also?
No.
Okay. So
no,
there's no music instruments in the pad?
Yeah, piano.
Ah, who played it?
Mainly just me.
Okay, so you took lessons as a young guy?
No, I didn't take lessons. I just bashed around on it.
Okay. Most people have on the show that had piano lessons. It's a horrible experience.
Yeah, no, I didn't have any music lessons. When I got to high school, I had a guitar teacher who was the guy, Danny Minetto, who was the guy that played in the Mad Scene with Hamish Kilgour. And he showed me one thing on the guitar that was, you only need one string.
Oh, that's good.
So all of my musical guitar lessons were coming from him. And he was teaching me, you know, how like the Flying Nun guitar sound works, is that you have two strings.
Yeah.
And you play one note against the other, and that's all you need. And you can create melody and harmony with, like a Mixolydian style of moving up and down the fretboard, but that you don't need to play chords. And I mean, I had chord charts, and Chris Knox taught me that you only need to have a bar chord, right?
Well, I think everybody's got their own idea. That's why I like to interview people for the show, because I have yet to find two exact journeys through music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Everybody's got their own way of finding it. So what about the school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
No, I went to an alternative school. I didn't go to high school. My parents schooled me at home. Just to quote my favorite misheard lyric of Steely Dan, is I'm never going back to my home school.
Oh, like gladiolas grown outside your door.
And
right?
So
that'll be the day I move back to Annandale. You ever been to Annandale?
Yeah, no, I've never been to
There's
Annandale.
A college there. It's called, because they went to school It's called Bard. It's a little private school, and I've actually played that campus twice as a Minuteman a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the school they're talking about. I think Bobby Dylan wrote.
And if you're, yeah, I know the line now. It's like something,
something
happened, man and Dale. Moving with the girls upstairs. Something. Oh no, I never going back to my home school.
William and Mary won't do. That's, I think, our third oldest college. Yale's the oldest one, then Harvard, and then William and Mary. So,
yeah. Wow.
But they're never going back to their old school. And I think Chevy Chase was in a band with them for a little while, played drums for them or something.
Really?
Anyway, wow. Let's get back to your story.
Okay.
What about,
yeah, so then,
you know, you're talking about homeschool and that kind of stuff. Well, what about playing with friends? Like when
we just had a band.
Yeah,
well, I
like
went to
basement
this liberal
band
high
or
school.
Garage band or.
Yeah, I went to this liberal high school and we could do whatever we want. And there's only 100 students there. And we could decide ourselves what our curriculum was. So we didn't have to go to science, math, English. We could do whatever we want. So we had a band room. We had really great music teachers. Daniel Minetto was one of them. Don McGlashan, who was become quite a famous songwriter in New Zealand now for his work with the Mutton Birds and the Front Lawn. And so we had these really quite kind of, well, they're punk people. You know, he was in Blam Blam Blam, which was like one of the early New Zealand punk bands, not Flying Nun, but Propeller, I think. And we had him as a music teacher, and we would just jam. You know, four or five friends, we would just play in the school band room. We had guitar amps and drums, and, you know, at the time, this is like in the late 80s, and we were listening to you, Mike. You know, we used to play Chemical Wire. and it was like that was a standard.
And what you gravitated towards the guitar?
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you?
But I mean, it was just it was the easiest thing to do. And,
well, because at home you said you were bashing piano.
Yeah.
So but then I bought a guitar. I'm trying to figure out why the switch.
I got a guitar when I was about 13 or so, and then I still have that guitar. I'm looking at it right now. It's sitting on the chair in front of me. I still have that same guitar. It's a Fender Mustang.
Oh, I see
and
that
I was,
guitar. I remember you
I was
played
very,
with...
It was a beautiful guitar. I was very lucky
where did
because...
Where did we share the stage? What was it called? Monarch?
Monarch, yes. Yeah, and I think I played that guitar on that night too. But I was very lucky because I kind of got in on the Fender Mustang thing before Kurt Cobain made them incredibly expensive and valuable guitars, right?
Yeah, Stangs so were like to, more a student model, entry model or some.
Yeah, yeah. So you could,
actually, I think there was two. You could get a Stang with two different length necks. There was a short scale and a long scale.
Yeah. Well, mine is the normal scale, like it's like a Strat,
okay.
Like a Stratocaster, but, and also the Mustang bass, which is, you can get a short scale Mustang bass.
I think they all were short scales.
Yeah.
30 inch.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to play Kids.
Last time I stuck my head in. You can breathe life into unknown territory, 'cause where I is where I find you, beginning with a dark history keeps you blind to these things, all manner of things. It's 6:15. In the light of dawn, in a picture perfect electrical storm, if I was listening to Lush or listening to Laws, and you make their opinions yours. Can I put my 10 cents in? 'Cause this approach just isn't working. Looks like an early spring. It's like we met when we were kids. Can't make sense of these things. I just want to live like we did in the 90s. Would it have changed anything if we had kids? We'll be right back.
which it could be, curving through neighborhoods on my bicycle, around the lake, up and down hills, around to Maple Bluff Marina, jetty at sunrise, L-shaped and calm, calming the waters where the boats are moored, sweet morning stillness from the other side, peaceful, quiet morning worth riding into and back again, a good workout, a chance to breathe, and maybe even meditate, stones of the jetty.
Reuse, recycle, share and repair. Lovers of Earth, takers of care. Reuse, recycle, share and repair. Guardians of nature, rise up everywhere. Cut a stick of electroplastica. Listen from here to Antarctica. Cut a stick of electroplastica. Something like no would be fantastic. Reuse, recycle, share and repair. Lovers of Earth, takers of care. Reuse, recycle, share and repair. Guardians of nature rising up everywhere. Cut the techo retro plastica. Listen from here to Antarctica. Cut the techo retro plastica. Stopping life would be fantastic. Retro plastica. This town from here to Antarctica. Got a second retro plastica. Stopping life though would be fantastic. Commendable, you say, how commendable. Manufacturers gotta be accountable. Three principles for us sustainable. Our challenges surmountable.
мразиш, што со пика да го гањаш, што со гомна го раниш, магите ми му правиш.
Caroline, hey,
Caroline. Ain't it funny how I'm staring at the ocean, staring at the ocean, staring at the moon.
For Pedro Show, yeah, Kids from Dean Roberts, brand new record. Bilge Pump after that out of Leeds, Up the Nest. Lucy Leave, also from England, Centipede. Joe Burr out of Madison here every morning. Jack Bruce's cousin. Panther Paw, that's Mike out of Brighton. Reuse, recycle, share, and repair. What a concept. Mike Slott, Simple Dreams, Simple Days. Alice Bag, brand new breadcrumb. Maybe not real brand new, but newer. His name is Alive, brand new. My thoughts are to thee drawn. 21 Vec out of Macedonia, Skopje. Maggie Termi, Mi Pravis. Cutthroat Brothers out of Hawaii here, and I did some bass for him. Medicine. Bob Pollard with yet another tune. Hundreds of tunes from probably out of date. Always Gone. And then finally, Caroline, Dean Roberts. So, Dean, what about gigs?
Well, I have a gig in Italy.
No, I'm talking about when you were younger. What was your first
gig? Oh, when I was young. Oh, the gigs that I went to.
No, the first gig that you played.
The first gig that I played... The first gig that I played...
Maybe that's too hard. Okay, the first gig that you went to.
The first gig that I went to was probably... Straight Jacket Fits.
Okay. And the first record you bought yourself?
The first record that I bought myself was... it would have been
hard questions.
Let me think. I think it was probably either The Cure, Faith, or I think it was The Cure.
Okay. Faith. Can you remember the first time you played in front of people?
The first time I played in front of people was playing at a high school event where we played a lot of Hendrix-y stuff. Like, Hendrix was a big thing. So I think the first time I played live in front of anyone was at high school playing Hendrix covers. But the first official gig that I would have say it was a public gig was playing with my band Thaler, opening for Chris Knox.
And this band Thaler, this was your first band?
Yeah.
How'd you put it together?
Well, we were like art school kids.
Uh-huh.
And we were making noise, doing noise stuff, drone-y guitar feedback noise stuff. And we've released a couple of records on this, very small press lathe cut company from New Zealand, which would do, like, editions of, like, 60 copies, lathe cut 12-inch or 7-inch records. And we put out a couple of 12-inches and a cassette. And then... Bloody Mr. Thurston came into the record store and bought those records and then asked us to do a record on Ecstatic Peace. And we were like 18 at that time. 18, 20 and 22, the three of us. That was Rosie Parlane and Dion Workman and I. And we did our first record, official record, on Ecstatic Peace. And the rest is history, because that led to us playing a lot. And we toured America, and we played a lot of gigs with Sonic Youth and The X. And, yeah, we kind of just really fell on our feet as these young kids. It's quite weird to think of it now. I'm nearly 45 now, and I think that's, that's 25 years ago. That was kind of the beginning of, like, the way that my music thing started. But I wasn't coming from a music school thing. I was coming from this art school world, because I was studying art. And so, of course, we had all these really interesting people that we came across, like Tony Conrad came and worked at our school for some time. And then I went to America and discovered the music of and art of Phil Niblock and all of these people like Branca and Glenn Branca and all of that kind of firmament of like the minimalism, I guess. And that was kind of the thing that I was very attracted to in that time. And so I spent 5 or 6 years in America just working around with these people like Charles Curtis and Alan Licht and others.
Guitar man Alan Licht, I know him, New York City.
Of course, yeah.
He did one time, he did a cover of a Minutemen song I wrote, I think, called Polarity.
Yes, I remember. He made the whole album, didn't he?
It's well, in only one note.
Yeah.
But it's a long note. It's like 20 minutes.
But my, but coming back to you asking me about my first musical experiences of, like, performance, one of the first live performances that I did was playing with this strange underground New Zealand band who don't exist anymore, I don't think, who were called the Nixons. And they invited me to play doing vocals with them and playing Chemical Wire by Firehose.
Okay. I was about
17, and I had really long hair, and I was jumping around on stage and singing in a falsetto thing more like a Chris Cornell kind of like screamy falsetto.
Edward had it hiked up there. I kind of took that lick from a David Bowie song, Black Country Rock. It's on Hunky Dory. Maybe it's on Man Who Sold the World or something.
Doo-doo-doo. Yeah, I can hear that now.
What's that pentatonic?
Yeah.
You know that.
Okay. What was, who was that that was doing bass on that Bowie?
Well, I think on that record, it's Man Who Sold the World, I think it's Tony Visconti, the producer.
That plays bass, yeah.
I remember that tune, Width of a Circle. He had a big fuzz kind of sound. Yeah, it was really good. Tony Visconti.
Now, I have to tell you something funny as well about this. Is on my new record, I played all the bass parts.
That's okay.
And is that okay with you?
That's okay.
But you know what's really crazy about it, Mike, is that I did it with Andrea Belfi at his studio.
Ah!
And Father, we used your bass.
Well, not my bass. I gave it to him.
Yeah, we used that bass though. Yeah,
it's called a Watt Plower.
The Watt Plower, yeah, we used that.
And he's got one of the very early ones.
Yeah.
Because I thought he deserved.
Yeah.
You know, he can play everything.
Yeah, great, amazing sounding bass.
Oh, you're very kind. And I also gave him, because it was still in development, so I gave him some parts to upgrade it. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, March 4, 2020. Off the Pedro Show, special guest Dean Roberts. Hold up tight for hour two. March 4, 2020 is the second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
As the sweat of the seasons here over the hills and to town, dances in secrets of falling from the clouds, and the clouds shift, and I'm holding your wrist with words nowhere to be found. 'Cause where will you fit in the grand scheme of things as an insect on the ground?
praštam.
Što su roguću smeću, nemaju šta jesti, dijelimo si lajkamo te ruže vijesti. Tedi je papa opet za sve kriva, ili sad je sa Mišom piva. Ruke nam krvale, sve to stikanja, ja sam čovjek dovoljno, imam te probleme, muče i mene i te internet dileme. Sve ga su djecan i zbog pak se kajem, sve to uvijek glasno, ja na Boga lajem, možda me čuje pa mi grijehe oprosti. Apple Dell IBM, sve vas na kurac nabijem. 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 Apple Dell IBM, sve vas na kurac nabijem.
We'll be right back. this way we're living, gotta hold on to me. Break for the ocean or straight to the bar. This familiar safety sitting in my car. Watching the waves crash keeps me away from the bar. Shedding my past, with Timmy and my new skin, leaving my past, living in this new skin. Nothing ever lasts. Trying out my new.
Born down in El Paso, where the tumbleweeds blow, the middleweight champ of all Mexico. Dad fought many bloody battles, and he raised four sons. Chavo was the oldest one. Old man Gory could pop like a live grenade. Raised his boys in the way of the trade. Hector and Mondo, young Eddie G. Chavo meant the most to me. Look high, it's my last hope. top of the game, defender of the downtrodden, king of the hill, tag team champion with Al Madrill. Before a black and white TV in the middle of the night, I'm lying on the floor, I'm bathed in blue light. The telecast in Spanish, I can understand some, and I need justice in my life. Here it comes, look high in my last hope. Chavo Guerrero, coming off his arm rope. Red shoes Dugan, holding his arm high, all out of breath. I hated all of Chavo's enemies. I would pray nightly for their death. Sending like fire on the people who deserved it most. All was completely unknown outside of Texas and on the West Coast. He was my hero back when I was a kid. You let me down, but Chavo never once did. You called him names to try to get beneath my skin. Now your ashes are scattered on the wind. I heard his son got famous.
For Pedro Show, started the second hour off with Dead Insects from Dean Roberts' new record. Ned O'Millett Cooperative after that with, I think he's living in Trieste now, Pelusia. The New Dancers, Deutsche Ashram, that's brother AJ Holland. Kind of Pigeon out of Milano with Pigeon Face. Jerkogram over here, I guess they're on hold. Drummer Man went to New York City. Coat of Arms, Mario DeSandro, he just moved down here. I saw him at the fucking, got a new place to play in Pedro if you're on tour out here, Dean. Mm-hmm. It's called Sardine.
Oh, yeah?
Like Avenue 11th. Yeah, there's a gig for you in Pedro if you make it out of here.
Okay,
and
of course.
Finally, The Legend of Chavo Guerrero by the Mountain Goats. People might not know who we're talking about without Andrea Belfi. This was the original drummer man for El Sueño de Marinaio. And
yes.
A guy who lives in Berlin, as you do, we should talk about how this happened. I mean, you kind of left off with you doing a bunch of experimental music in the U.S., right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about between there?
Well, after I was in the U.S., I moved to Bologna in Italy. The story of how I ended up in Bologna is maybe too long to explain in this, but it was a strange kind of coincidence of different factors, and I ended up going, I had a booking agent in Bologna who used to book me to do concerts in Italy around that time, like in the late 90s, early 2000s, and I ended up going there so often that I just ended up staying there, and then I became friends with a guy called Valerio Tricoli, who's a really fantastic artist. And he and I hunkered down, and we spent a good 6 months working on making my record, Be Mine Tonight, which is the first record that I made for Cranky Records. And I became friends with Andrea Belfi in that time, and he would sometimes sit in with me and play drums, which is just a brilliant, he's an amazing musician, he can just do kind of anything.
But he was from Verona.
He's from Verona, but he was living in Bologna at that time.
Okay.
And they were all working on their Valerio and Stefano Pellia, who was also in the band with you. They were all working on their band called Three Quarters, that had been eliminated.
Right.
Yeah. And so we were kind of like a little cohort of people that hung out together, and it was great. And then when I moved to Berlin, discovered that Andrea Belfi was living here, and we've since become really close. I mean, we really, like, he literally lives across the street from me, so we spend a lot of time together. And
Neukölln,
In Neukölln, in the southeast part of Berlin,
right?
And and then he plays on some of the songs on my new record, but otherwise the drummer. Because Andrea Belfi is very in demand now, he plays with lots of people. But the other drummer that I work with is Paul Taylor, who is a young New Zealand guy who now plays with Feist.
Speaking of which,
I keep losing my drummers to all of these big bands, you know.
Well, you got a song here I want to play. It's called Paul. Is it for him?
No, it's not actually for him.
Well, let's listen anyway.
I always run into you, Paul.
people off the air. Dean's telling me about these people. He finds himself very fortunate to have people around he can play with, even though he loses a lot of drummers to big bands.
Yeah. I've been really fortunate that I've had really amazing musicians to work with. I mean, I worked with Chris Abrahams a lot on the last couple of records. Chris has been an incredibly important part of those records, and Chris can really play music, so he could just do it in his sleep, you know. I just give him the tracks and say, this is the track, what do you think? And then he'll come back with something really beautiful on piano. Or in the case of this last record, he played harpsichord. And
An acoustic one?
Yeah.
Because he's kind of fragile.
Yeah. It was really incredible. It was a great opportunity to, you know, and, you know, Chris has done so much stuff and so many things that have been such a huge influence on me from, you know, I mean, I love the Necks. That's one aspect. I love Ed Cooper, and I loved, you know, some parts of Midnight Oil, and Chris was involved in all of that stuff. So he's really like a godfather of information to me about, like, the Australian, you know, Australian sound, which I really love. You know, I really love the go-betweens and especially Ed Cooper. I really love the music of the Triffids, you know. And it was so interesting to work with Chris because he worked with all of those people. And it was incredible to just, like, yeah, have an experience of recording, playing music with him over the years, and because he always has a great story to tell about an experience of, you know, working with any of those bands, you know, over the time. I mean, he's just a fantastic piano player.
Well,
and I've seen him do things with the piano that I certainly didn't do when I was bashing around on the piano when I was a kid. You know what I mean? It's like he can do things with the piano that I just don't think you could actually ever imagine the piano being capable of doing sonically. Right? Like, he can, like, create these overtones that are just incredible. I guess a lot of listeners to your show will be familiar with the Necks or would have seen them play live.
Sure.
But it's just, it's like magic.
Well, we heard you, your tune, Paul, there, in Bajan Boy, which is more AJ, but like kind of his solo mint day.
What was that, sorry?
And then Polar Wind. And then finally Andre Vita.
Oh, yeah.
I got to meet Chow with you the night before the Flipper gig last August.
Yes, yes.
Put a Spell on Me, which sounds like a takeoff on
I Put a Spell on You.
Yeah, which is, you know, the Creedence, I think.
Screaming Jay Hawkins.
Well, it's a Screaming Jay Hawkins tune, but I think Creedence's first, either the first or second, maybe Susie Q was the first hit. Dean Boone, I remember. Susie Q is one of those 7-inches that part A, part B, like Little Johnny Jewel, right? You flipped it over.
Part one, right, part and then you two. Hear the solo on the second side.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of, yeah, it's like so long it had to stretch over two sides, yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, always, you know, when I met Dee Boone, the only rock band he knew was Creedence, so I've always got a special connect. So where did you record? You recorded this album in Berlin. What was the name of the studio?
It's called the Pines Studio. And the studio was very new because it was at, well, it's not. It's an old studio that was in Montreal. And it belongs to David Bryant, who is the guy from one of the founders of Godspeed You Black Emperor.
Right.
And he moved to Berlin and he brought his studio with him. And he moved into a building quite close to me. And I helped him to sort of find the venue for him to set up the studio there. And in return, he gave me the studio for a month while he was away on tour with Godspeed. So I had a month or maybe 6 weeks of working in this incredible studio, which is quite new to me because all of the stuff that I've normally done has been, you know, on four track or in reel to reel four track or in the box and a little Pro Tools setup that I have. But to work with all of this amazing equipment. So I had all of Godspeed's studio gear at my hands. And I know a bit about recording because I have worked quite a lot in like analog production. But it was a really, really incredible opportunity. And it was super nice that he just said, look, you can come and use the studio while I'm away. And I just hung out there for 6 weeks making stuff.
So it was about 6 weeks to do this album, okay.
No, it took much longer than that because some of the songs are really old. Like, some of the songs that I recorded myself in New Zealand, like, more than 10 years ago. Or 8 years ago, I would say. So it was a matter of a matter of kind of making a composite thing of all of these old material pieces that I had, and putting it together and then doing the guitar parts and the vocal parts here in Berlin at that studio. And I'm not very good at mixing or arranging things, so I took it to my friend Giuseppe Alassi in Italy. And he just kind of went through it with a fine-tooth comb and kind of helped me to sculpt it into what it ended up being. But I have to say, Mike, you would know, I'm sure that you would relate to this. The next time I make a record, I want to do it in a weekend. You know?
What part of Italy did you put everything together?
In Milan.
Milano, okay.
Yeah.
A nice studio?
Yeah, it's a really, really, really good studio.
Yeah, you know, downstairs mixing third El Sogno de Marinaio album in Wales.
Yeah.
And he just sent me two of the mixes, and they're really good. Whoa. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's something to be said about that, that it's a really great thing to relinquish your work and let someone else do it. I mean, Giuseppe didn't do a lot of editing or anything.
Uh-huh.
I was just like, he's like, bring me all of the raw material that you have.
Yep.
And I took it to him and he just said, okay, you go out for a walk and come back at 5 o'clock and I'll see what I can do with it. And I think there's something that I've always been with my music work. I'm a bit of a control freak. But this time I was like, well, you know, someone else can take control of that and I could relinquish that and allow someone else to mix and master and everything. Like, I don't want to know about it. I just want to play the music and get it out of the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they can bring the perspective.
And when you find the right person to work with, like that, that's such an amazing, amazing thing. Because their kind of take on what you do is actually sometimes better than your own perception of what you do.
You know, you're right.
You're
completely right. Sometimes that can happen. We're at the end of the second hour, 4 March 2020. Dean Roberts, special guest, full time for hour 3. March 4, 2020, it's the third hour of the Lock for Pedro show.
Where did you go? enslaved.
Our love stands tall at the nothing church, stretching the universe, not one but two. I'm stood by the water, face soaked in amber, if only I could answer when I'm lying. Crying wolf. You spin me around until nothing hurts. He gave me his glass and spilled it. Through once in naked flames. You could paint me white, you could paint me cold, you can walk through me, you can take me home. But I'm not alone when I fake it. You can hold me up, but you can hold me down. And I know I'm not your answer to everything.
Love ends in a fire, we'll set them alight. If love ends in a fire, we'll set them alight.
Walk for Pedro show. Start off the third hour with Dean Roberts, Say After Me, and Mod Vigil with Pink Floyd, Crane Garrett, Country Dreams. Not Fire, Dean Roberts. What do you got planned next?
I want to do another record, but very quickly. I don't want to spend 8 years working on a record.
On a weekend.
I want to do it in a weekend, yeah. And I'm playing some gigs this year. I'm playing in Italy next week. If the coronavirus thing doesn't become a problem, I'm going to go to Italy and play. Then I play a big gig in Berlin on the 25th of March for my 45th birthday.
Whoa.
I'm playing with this band, Owl and Mac, this other band, Foundling, which is a great artist, this lady, Erin Lang, who is also the bass player in my band. She has a fantastic project. And we're playing that. Then I'm playing with Talia Zedek, who is a musical hero of mine.
Yeah, come and Uzi.
Yeah. Yeah.
She lives in Boston, right?
Yeah. But her new band called E, are touring Europe, and I'm going to play some gigs with them. And
she had a long time. She had Chris on guitar, right?
Chris Brokaw was playing guitar with her. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
Yeah, and her new band, E,
yeah,
they're incredible. They're really, really, really good.
Okay, I got to check them out. She's always reminded me somehow as like East Coast Carla Bozulich.
Yes, right.
In a weird way. I mean, they both have their own worlds, but really talented ladies. I mean, incredible.
Yeah. For me, when I was making this record, the last song on my record, which is the title track, Not Fire, that was my point of reference for that song, which I talked a lot to David Bryant about, was I wanted to make a song that had the atmosphere that Carla did with when she did the low cover of the song Pissing on My Toes.
Yeah.
Pissing.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
And it was just the atmosphere of the live sound of the band is just incredible. Like,
you know, Andrea Belfi did some touring with her.
He did, yeah. He played drums with her.
He told me the tour he did with her, they didn't make one sound check.
Yeah. She's amazing. She's completely
not one sound check. He said they were late for every fucking gig.
Yeah. Hey,
that's okay.
Mike,
you know that she's from San Pedro.
She's from San Pedro.
Yeah.
Really?
She hasn't lived here for many, many years, but she's from here.
Do you know by chance a lady called Ange Wilson? She's an electronic musician, synth, like analog synth, and many other things. And she sometimes, I met her because she's friends with an old friend of mine from LA called Devin Sano, bass player.
Yeah.
Do you know
Devin? Of course,
Devin?
I know Devin.
Yeah.
He's an old buddy of Nell's.
Yeah, that's how I met him, actually. The very first time I came to L.A. in 1996, we played a gig with Devin and Nels.
Yeah, great guys.
He's a really, really cool guy. But, yeah, I actually just met her recently because she was visiting Berlin, and we hung out and talked a bit, and I started to get a sense of her music, and I think she's really fantastic, really interesting person. And, yeah, that was, yeah.
Small world.
And she was like, what? Small world. So small. The world is so small.
What about this tune, My Diviner?
That's the Walkabouts.
Australian band, right?
No, Seattle, originally.
Oh, yeah, Go-Betweens. They're Australian.
Yeah, Go-Betweens. The Walkabouts.
Different band, completely. Oh, yeah, guys. Yeah.
But I absolutely love the Walkabouts. And
so
I met Chris Ekman. He has a new band that's a really, really fantastic band. He lives in Slovenia, I think. No, somewhere strange like Slovenia or Slovakia, I'm not sure. And he's a fantastic string arranger.
Whoa. Well, let's listen.
Starting. You've got gifts and a smile for what you yet to define. And there's a slow burning inheritance that take up all your time.
like songs are because of the Walkabouts also did a lot of traditional songs and cover versions themselves. And he said, you know, if you inhabit a song, then you should own it and do what you want with it. And it was a really huge thing for me to be given his blessing to do that song. And and so that, and also Say After Me is also a cover. So on all of my records, there's usually one cover, but on this record, there's two. And it was a really... Say After Me is a cover of Bec Ronge, who's a New Zealand singer-songwriter who's been around for as long as me in the New Zealand scene, but she became very famous. And she's a really incredible writer, and I just absolutely love her music. And I really wanted to do it, and it was the same thing. I emailed her and I said, hey, can I take that song and do something else with it? Because the song is absolutely beautiful, but I want to do something else with it. And she gave me her blessing and said, yes, you can do what you want with it. So I kind of rearranged it and made a cover version. And I don't know, rock and roll music is so full of that, isn't it? Like,
yeah, but it's cool if you get to interpret it. It's not like a top 40 where you're trying to be a fake version of the band.
Yeah, it's more like a reinterpretation and recontextualization of it.
To me, I think that's lot more valid than just trying to be like a tape record.
Yeah, you're recontextualizing it, putting it into a different atmosphere. And
it can be beautiful. For example, Carla with Redheaded Stranger.
Exactly. I was just talking to a friend yesterday about that. And I thought that was so bold and beautiful the way that she did that, and she covered the whole album. And, it's kind of...
Fucking Nels did that with Interstellar Space, with Greg Bandian.
Yes, I remember that. I have that CD somewhere.
I think me and Lee Ronaldo was at one of the live things on there. Mike Reiner, Dean Roberts, then Plasticine from Zoberdome, all blues, one head edit from Groove Creator, Methodist Brother Phil up at Mammoth. And finally, Heron, Dean Roberts. Yeah. You know, herons, we got great, we call them great blue herons. They're big.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
We got little white ones, too. We call them egrets.
Yeah.
Yeah, the predator kind of birds, you know, stereo eyes. Good thing we're not small. They got the stabbing beak. But I'll tell you, the thing about the heron for me, got to have the ugliest song of all the birds. It's like, it's like throwing up or some shit. But not a pretty song. But they are beautiful-looking birds. They hang around by our hospital for sea lions and seals because they want to chow the fish. If people want to find you on the internet, where do they go, Dean?
They could go to Dean Roberts Music at Bandcamp.
Okay.
Or to Erstwhile Records at Bandcamp.
Okay, people, Erstwhile Music is beautiful. I love it. And I love this new record. I can't wait to hear the Weekend record.
Yeah.
Last Weekend.
Thank you.
And it's been a huge honor to be on the show. You know, I got it.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's an honor for me. I can't believe it.
When the new record comes out, we'll come on again and we'll talk about it, okay? But I got the first time I got to meet Dean Roberts, I got to conk out his pad. Thank you, Andrea Belfi. Grazie.
Yeah. And I remember when you stayed at my place and you left me a lot of notes about the books I should read and the movies I should watch, and I really thank you for that, because there were books I hadn't read and movies that I hadn't watched, and it was very, very great for you to offer me that advice.
Just doing my duty.
And when are you coming back?
Big honor to be on.
Are you coming back?
Yeah, I'm coming.
When are you coming back to Berlin, Mike?
When this third album comes out, I'll be there. Probably September, October, I'll be your way. Of course, for telling me he's booking the fucking tour.
Great.
People, it's been March 4th, 2020. Special guest, Dean Roberts. Keep your powder dry.